is El Pacifico. Bill Henry.
And welcome to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Welcome back here on this Tuesday night. Every night, something different here on the show. Maybe more so for me than for you guys, because the drama that goes on here behind the scenes sometimes is as weird as what happens on the air. And to that end, I spent a good deal of time after the show last night looking for a certain picture. I found it. It's on our homepage. I'll tell you about it in just a moment. But first, let me say, welcome to the show. It is the world-famous Phil Henry Show, on the air every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show. What?
Not worth talking about.
What?
It knows what it's talking about.
What?
It knows what it's talking about, Phil. We're not in the Army.
All right. It knows what it's talking about. And where truth is our bitch, and we hold forth here Monday through Friday. Now, our homepage is philhenryshow.com. That's our website. A lot of radio shows have websites. A lot of radio companies have websites, but none of them have a website like ours. Our website is serious business. Our website is a repository, is an archive, is a library. It is a vault. It's the pyramid of the Phil Henry Show, and in it contains over a decade's worth of radio shows, thousands of hours of one of the most original radio shows in the history of the world. That's what they tell me. I don't know. What do you think, bud?
But I want to get to the zombie. I do agree. Yes, sir, I do.
Okay.
But I do want to get to a zombie discussion in a moment.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll get to the zombie discussion in a moment. I don't want to go on and on about this either.
You know something? Can I just... If I knew you were going to start the program with a zombie discussion, I would have stayed home tonight.
Margaret, you can't solve life's problems, and you can't solve radio's problems. You certainly can't solve a radio show's problems by getting up and leaving. Okay? Now, some people may disagree. Some people may not, for instance, like me, and they would say, Phil, this show would be much better if you would get up and leave. But that can't be, and it can't be for you either.
And who are you referring to when you're talking about some people probably not wanting me on the air? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that in the minds of some people, problems like that can be solved by having the person leave. You cannot leave. I'm just trying to tell you. If you leave, and I know I've been a hard ass about this, if you leave, then I have to say you're fired, not because I don't want you on the show, but you can't just get up and leave.
Yeah, you gotta go in the bathroom.
I have a right to go to the bathroom, you imbecile. God.
All right, okay. All right, so anyway, did I do the show's intro or not?
I don't know, man. I might have to do it all over again.
I ain't doing it all over again. Either I did it or I didn't, okay? Welcome to the show. Go to our website, philhenryshow.com. We have a special this month, a special today and today only. Get yourself a suit, beautiful, portly size suit. Now go to our website and pick up a backstage pass, which gives you access to all of the marvelousness that is our website. And this month, until the end of December, with a one-month subscription, you get one free CD download, one free Best of Phil Henry download from our shop. And that would include the Best of Bobby Dooley or the Best of Ted Bell and a whole bunch of other stuff. If you get a six-month subscription, you get three free CD downloads from the shop. And if you get a one-year subscription, you get five free CD downloads.
Yeah, count them, folks. Five, count them, five. Like, that's what it says.
Yes, it says that. Do you have to repeat it?
Yeah, I think I like it. It says count them.
All right. Margaret, when are you going to figure out the guy's, you know, he is what he is?
Yeah, you know, I got to put up with you.
Oh, you have to put up with me. What do you have to put up with me?
Did you go to the toilet and everything?
That I go to the toilet? Are you saying...
Never mind. There was a question that I don't want you butt-ass me, and I said, please don't bring it up. But now that I think about it, I'll bring it up. You don't bring it up, bud.
About her going to the bathroom.
Would you be quiet?
I beg your pardon.
There was a question on Facebook last night after I got off the air. Who cleans up the bathroom after you've been in there?
Are you kidding me, Phil?
And I said that you leave it spick and span, spotless, and it's gorgeous, and it smells of lilacs.
Thank you.
Yeah, so...
Don't say it.
I know what you were going to say, so he lies. Is that what you were going to say?
I'm not going to...
Is that what you were going to... No, Phil, don't interrupt me. Is that what you were going to say, that Phil lied on my behalf? Is that what you were going to... I said to tell...
I was going to say...
Let him go, Margaret. You better go to the bathroom.
Yes.
Right off the bat, she's got her hands on your throat.
She's crazy. I'm telling you that right now.
Don't bug her then, okay? Why would you bug somebody that's going to put their hands on your throat?
You shouldn't ought to do that.
Yeah, but you know what, man, you asked for. Anyway, look at our homepage, Phil Henry Show. You'll notice a guy almost got strangled on my show. I don't care. Look at our homepage, philhenryshow.com. You know, Mr. Henry, I shouldn't do that because I, but Mr. Hall had called in about that. I don't know what you guys are talking about. I'm trying to get into the show.
You're grabbing on your nose.
I was grabbing on my nose. All right, I apologize. If you look at our homepage at philhenryshow.com, you will notice there is a still from a film that I'm sure you are all familiar with, and it is Night of the Living Dead. Excuse me for just a moment. I got a little bit of a dry throat. It's a still from Night of the Living Dead. What is it?
Yeah, Mr. Hall.
Yeah, David.
I'm just pulling in out of the Chronicle. We're going to have some dinner tonight, some late dinner, and I noticed you were yanking your nose or something. What was that that I heard? Yeah, you go on inside, baby. What was that I heard, Phil?
What was what you heard?
I heard you going,
Yes, I was rubbing my nose.
You were rubbing your nose. Go inside, baby. I'm having some late cocktails. You were rubbing your nose.
Yes, I was rubbing my nose as I was talking. I apologize.
Because it sounds like they say, "Hi, this is Phil Henry Show," and it doesn't sound very professional. Yeah. You check the car, and then I gotta go. Yeah, you go inside, baby. So when you rub your nose, Phil, it's...
He's always trying to act like a big shot.
What are you talking about?
Calling me up in the middle of a cocktail. He's going over to have drinks with some chick at the Chronicle out in Pasadena, and he's calling me up, and hey, let me just,
Well, you, Phil, you don't know that's the case.
I absolutely do know that's the case. There's no reason for him to call me up and say, hey, don't rub your nose when you're talking. He's got some chick he's having drinks with. I heard him.
Yeah, he's going, go inside, baby.
Well,
I'm telling you. There's guys that do that. They're out with a woman, and, let me make a phone call here that'll make me really sound like a big shot. Yeah, hey, Hank, I tell you what, sell those shares of Bloomington's or something.
And what are you saying? They're really on the phone with, what, the lumber company?
Probably a deadline. There's probably nothing there, you know. Ain't you ever done that?
I did a couple times when I was dating Vivian. I pretend like I was talking to you, except I do.
You do what?
I talk to him.
Yeah, so why did you pretend?
I forgot that I knew you. I mean, I didn't forget.
Oh, my. You forgot that you knew him.
I didn't forget. I forgot to just go ahead and call you.
Well, I mean, it's probably better that you were faking it, because what if I wasn't home?
Yeah, what if he wasn't home?
Well, then you could fake it.
But, the disturbing aspect of this, Bud, is that you didn't think of that in the first place. You just picked up the phone and pretended you were talking to me when you could have actually... And then you could have put me on the line with her, and she would have been blown away.
Doesn't matter. She's still going to marry me.
I know, and congratulations again. All right, welcome back to the show here. As I have often said, it doesn't seem like we go away for a night. It always seems to me as if we've been here all night. Art Griego is going to join us this evening. By the way, Art is the subject of today's podcast, the free Phil Henry podcast, episode 82, as he talks about a book he wrote called The Art of Getting People to Do What You Want Them to Do, or some crap like that, I forget. So Art is going to be on. He's going to be talking with us about this United Airlines Boeing 787. It was involved in an emergency landing, the design. And you know this plane?
That's what, like the biggest one they made?
It is the largest plane. It is the largest passenger plane that has been made. On the same day, one of its new Dreamliners made an emergency landing because of a mechanical problem. Boeing said U.S. regulators had ordered the entire fleet of 787s to be inspected for a possible fuel line problem. The twin mechanical issues, while not necessarily uncommon, were yet another headache for Boeing, a company still working to overcome the negative perception of production problems that delayed delivery of the 787 by 3.5 years. Its latest problem involved a brand new United Airlines 787 Dreamliner with 184 people aboard, which was forced to make an emergency landing in Nolens due to an undefined mechanical issue.
So this was not the fuel leak. This was just...
It was something. Boeing also said on Tuesday the U.S. Federal Aviation Administration was requiring inspections of all 787s in service to confirm that fuel line connections had been properly installed. Have you ever been on an aircraft when they have said to you, folks, we have to turn around, we have a mechanical problem?
I'm not.
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't want to say no, because I've flown so much, I must have.
Well, I have never been on a plane...
Hold on. I want to think about this, because I'd rather tell, if I have, I'd rather I tell my story, because that'll give me more microphone time. All right, no, I haven't.
Anyway, I...
Well, Phil, you can say, oh, wow, Margaret, refer to me.
All right, wow, Margaret, you haven't...
Never mind.
What difference does it make?
Because I want to be a little bit more integrated...
into the program. All right. I apologize, Margaret. Have you been on a plane?
Well, now everyone thinks you're playing to me. Never mind.
So, I haven't, but I was going to say that Maria was on... Get a load of this. She was on a plane bound for Africa. She had left Atlanta, and I don't know if she was flying directly to Africa. I think she was. She was flying directly to Sierra Leone from Africa. She was going to Africa as part of a women's group that was going to Africa to help the women in this particular locale. I think they were digging a well of some kind. But the point being, she took off 3 hours out of Atlanta.
Oh, my God.
3 hours. The pilot says, oh, you know what? We got to turn around and go back. We have a problem, you know. And he said, it's nothing that is earth-shaking. It's going to be fine, folks. We're going to land. But we do have something that is bothering us. Some kind of an electrical problem. 3 hours out of Atlanta, they turned around and they came back. Do you know the patience that she had and that anybody else that didn't lose their mind and decide to go screaming down the runway like we've heard so many people doing in recent years? Do you know the patience you have to have? It's unbelievable. All right, well, let's take a break and we'll get back to talking about that. And not the Boeing thing. This is far more interesting. People possibly, you know, screaming and going down the chute, you know.
Yeah, that'd be bitching.
All right, we'll be right back. The world famous Phil Henry Show. Art Griego later on in the program. Also the subject of the episode of our podcast today at iTunes. Go check it out. Phil
Henry
Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, baby, you're going.
Right.
I don't want Mr. Griego yet.
Yeah, see, Mr. Griego, not yet.
Don't do it. Thank you very much, Art. We'll be with... Hello, Art? Yeah, well, I'll be with you in a few minutes, okay? Not just yet. Thank you. All right. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL.
Not yet, no. No, not yet.
Okay, bud, is he clear on that?
Yeah. Hold on. What? Not yet.
Is he clear on that, bud?
Is he clear on that, bud? How many times do you want to say that?
Hold on. What? No, not yet.
Give me the phone. I'm sorry, folks. Hi, Art. Phil Henry. How you doing? Not yet. We don't need you yet, man. We're going to talk to you in... Hello? Hello? Talk about rude.
What did he do?
Probably hung up, right?
Yes, he hung up. All right, so getting back to where we were, talking about what we was talking about here, and this is this Boeing 787. I remember when the 747 came out, that was a big-ass plane. Then came the 757, 767. Now we're up to the 787, and the planes are getting worse, not better. I'm joking. But it seems like it, because this is a grounding of the fleet until they work out possible... problems that they have. One of them is this fuel line. So 184 people are on board this United Airlines 787 Dreamliner. You know, I would rather that these airlines, and I suppose it's just not, it's really not cost effective. I was going to say I would rather the airlines work out the problems that they have in terms of, for instance, the way they serve and service their customers, the ground crews and the personnel at the gate, the way they process people, the actual cleanliness of their aircraft, the actual... it isn't really about the attitude of the flight attendants. The flight attendants are fine, but some of these aircraft are filthy and they stink. I'm not kidding you, you know.
You're talking about the older airplanes.
Yeah. But frankly, they feel like they're falling apart. And you go into the restrooms of some of these aircraft are a little funky. I'll never forget I was on I better not say, but...
America West.
Did I just say I better not say?
Well, you told me it was America West.
Yeah, I told you. It doesn't mean you go on the air with it. I was on an America West jet once. And the...
toilet didn't flush?
What is it? Did I make this famous or something?
Phil, you were talking all about it when you got back. It was a flight to Las Vegas you took.
Yeah, the toilet didn't flush. All right, anyway... Getting back to this United Airlines flight, Boeing also said Thursday the U.S. Federal Aviation Administration was requiring inspection of all 787s in service to confirm that fuel line connectors had been properly installed. Oh, I know what I was telling you about. This plane that Maria was on, she's 3 hours outside of Atlanta, and they say we got to turn around and come back. They had a mechanical problem. They fly back another 3 hours. So now she's 6 hours in the air, and she hasn't gotten any closer to her destination. And sat there on the ground, had a layover of, over of I don't know how many minutes or hours, and then finally got on her plane. I said, when she got to Africa, I actually talked to her.
Well, what do you mean you actually? Don't you think they have phone service in Africa?
Yeah, I mean, they got telephones there.
Do they have telephones there? Yeah, I know they got telephones there, but the cell service is very spotty in many places around the world, Margaret.
Well, I don't know. I've never been to Africa.
Yeah, well, let me tell you something, okay? You can go to a lot of countries and you don't have cell service for crap, Jack. I got international. I got to tell you something. I don't know what I got to do. I went to Canada, man. I went to Toronto, Canada. I could barely update my website. And I got an upgraded international plan, this, that, all kinds of bull crap, so that I could have a little bit faster upload speed to the website because I was posting pictures and things like that. It still didn't do me any good. I don't know what it is. It could very well be just a function of how these contracts and how these agreements are drawn up between international entities. But anyway, she finally got to Africa. I talked to her. I said, how's it going? She says, it was, and she told me the story. And I said, if it had been me, I probably would. You know, I'm getting better, though. So.
Well, you're getting better, but how much better are you getting?
Yeah, you want to probably kick the guy's ass or something.
No, I wouldn't have kicked anybody's ass, okay?
But you kicked anybody's ass in your younger days.
No, I wouldn't have kicked it. Even in my younger days, I probably would have been really pissed off, but somebody probably would have kicked my ass. You know, if I'd been younger, if I'd been a different Phil Hendry, the guy that I, you know, at many times was in my life, yeah, I probably would have gotten upset. Now I pride myself on having increasingly more patience. Now it's almost like an endurance for me. I don't know how to say this, but it's almost fun.
So it's fun for you to sit there and endure these clowns.
Yeah, I mean, how can you do that?
Endure these clowns telling you. So if, let's say you're on that plane.
Okay.
And the pilot comes on, what did he say?
Well, I don't know. Maria said it, the pilot came on and said, folks, we have to turn around and go back to Atlanta. Because we have an issue we want to look at.
Did he say the plane was going to crash?
No, he didn't say the plane was going to crash. He said to the passengers, "It's nothing for you to be concerned with. It has nothing to do with the ability of the plane to fly." He said it, but it is something we're concerned about, and we want to go back and have it checked out. And they had they were just before, you know, there's that point of no return, or that you go past the. The midway point.
Yeah, that's where you're not allowed, you can't go back.
Why? What'll happen?
Because you're in a point of no return, and you'll never go back.
Do you know what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Do you? What is the point of no return?
What is it, man? Is it like a void or something?
It's kind of like a void, yeah. You just go to the point of no return.
Oh, like the Twilight Zone or something?
Well,
are you going to correct him, or do I have to?
But the point of no return is simply a point past the midpoint of a flight where it doesn't make any sense to turn around and go back. You might as well continue on your voyage, you see, because you have used up more than half of your fuel. So to turn around and go back would make no sense.
That's not what you said about Apollo 13 when they tried to slingshot the moon and everything.
Slingshot the moon?
Yes, you told them something. You told them some wild story about Apollo 13, which I thought was absolute garbage.
Hold on. Now I know what it was. Apollo 13 was a different story. Apollo 13 had gone over halfway to the moon, and they thought about doing an abrupt stop and turn and then go back. But they realized that stopping and turning and going back would burn up too much fuel.
Yeah.
But they decided instead to continue on and to use the moon's gravity to slingshot the craft around the moon and head it back to Earth, meaning in the case of Apollo 13, it had gone more than half the distance to the moon, but it's not the same thing. You how do I put this? Oh, now we got to take a break. I was going to talk about how are we on the moon, man, when I'm talking about United whatever.
Well, it's something that flies, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and then the moon flies. Or I mean the people that go to the moon.
Yeah, but I don't want to talk about the moon, and I'm talking about... We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show. Art, get Mr. Griego. Now I can use him, okay?
Hey, Art. Art. Yeah, we're going to put you on... Yeah, Mr. Henry's blowing it. Yeah, he can't talk too good, and... Shut up.
Yeah, I can help you out, okay? So I got to bail him out again, huh?
Phil Hendry.
Pretty much.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Art Griego is a retired pilot, but was a commercial pilot for quite some time. He and his wife live in Santa Monica, and we join Art at Santa Monica Airport tonight, where I know that you have a small charter and cargo service. Art, how you doing?
Phil, I'm doing very well, thanks.
And Art, have you been reading the news about the 787?
Yes, I have.
What's your immediate, as a former pilot, what's your immediate reaction to that?
Well, I'm grateful that my friends and colleagues who are still flying commercially are being looked after by the company, and that these planes will be inspected. But I have to tell you, as I believe I've told you many times, you know, we as pilots, we are well aware of the fact that if it weren't for the fact that we love to fly as much as we do and we love to serve the public, I don't know if any of us would actually fly, because as pilots. We realize every time we get into an aircraft, we are rolling the dice. It is not because I do not have confidence or that I don't have a great deal of admiration for our colleagues on the ground, those who are the mechanics and those who are the designers. But look at see what they're dealing with here with Boeing.
Well, Boeing has had problems. We mentioned a couple of them. 3.5 years to deliver this aircraft. And overall, it's a huge company, and it would be amazing to me that a company like Boeing could exist as long as it has without having these problems.
I think what we do, Phil, and just in your case right there, is we look, we search. It's almost like a man standing in the desert at night looking for a star or the North Star. We look and we search the constellation for a star. Well, in many cases, I think that's what we do with these airlines. We look and search for something good to say about them, and it's obvious that you did that, and I've heard people do it before.
What I'm trying to do is give a balanced picture.
Right, but I would say that the stammering, and I heard, I'd mean you're stammering, but...
Let me say, Art, it's Margaret Gray. I think what Art is saying, Phil, is you used the word there, and I think I would echo that word. You were stammering, Phil.
Yeah, when you were looking for something good to say about Boeing, you went, and I'm not trying to be funny.
All right, let me slow down here. I guess what I'm saying is...
Yeah, but you were stammering. You were.
There was a stammer, you were saying, when I made the point...
No, I understand what you said.
Yeah, let me just make this point. When I made the point that... Like a man staring at the sky, we are looking for good things to say about airlines. You jumped in and went, ah, bah, 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 like you had something to say, but you didn't.
All right, I understand that, Art. Yeah, thank you very much, bud.
I don't think it's worthy of being laughed at.
No, he was laughing at you for going, bah, 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 bah.
Yeah, no, I understand. That was funny.
All right, can I finish?
Go ahead, but did you get our original point, which was the stammering? When you stammer, it doesn't sound as if you have...
You hold on for a minute, please. Just hold on and let me finish what I'm saying.
Well, I'm not criticizing you. I'm saying that you had a good point, and...
I understand. Let me finish what I was saying. I was saying the following thing, that the airline is...
It's not an airline. See, there you go.
The company that makes the planes. Just hold on, will you?
Yeah, let him finish what I was going to say.
What?
Just hold on. But I'll take my side. You don't need to. The company that makes these aircraft, Boeing.
Yes.
Boeing is a big company. They've been around a long time. It seems inconceivable that they would not encounter problems. Now, to the extent that they're having problems here with the 787, you're right. A brand new aircraft, one that was created to attract passengers as well as serve existing passengers better, as well as travel to more and, you know, more destinations, I guess. I don't know.
They're called routes. That's the word you want to use. These are more and more routes.
More routes. That's in terms of what?
Where they fly to.
It's the place when they take off from an airport.
I understand, Bud. I got it. Yes, and so you have this big company with this big aircraft, and what do you think? They're getting grounded.
Well, and that's what I mean. And how does that inspire any kind of confidence in a pilot? Well, the answer is it doesn't. As a commercial pilot of some 23 years, when I flew, we accepted the reality that, again, as much as we admire our colleagues on the ground, we knew that we had to, if we had a new piece of equipment, or any flight for that matter, Phil, but especially if it was a new piece of equipment, I had to get to that aircraft earlier than perhaps I would normally, and I would take a walk around it. I'd ask if there was any one of the maintenance people there, I'd ask him to go ahead and open it up so I could take a look inside, just to not necessarily because I knew what I was looking for, but I want the mechanics and I want the maintenance people, I want all the ground people to know that I'm looking and I'm keeping an eye on things. And you will see occasionally some people get a little bit nervous about that. And
what, like who?
Well, like some of the ground people.
What are they getting when they see you checking the aircraft over in a more intense way?
Yes, you're looking inside at the motor and all of that.
We don't call it the motor. We call it the wing or the wings.
No, but the actual engine.
The engine is what we call it. So you used a very layperson term.
Do you ever call it? Do you call it a turbine, too?
I'm sorry, what did the young man say?
Is it the turbine is the...
The turbine, yeah, is the big round thing on the wing, which a lot of lay people don't know what that is. That's called a turbine. But when I am looking at that aircraft, Phil, and I may not know what I'm looking for, there may not be anything wrong with the aircraft, but I want the ground personnel, I want the maintenance people to see me. Last year in Honolulu, when we had landed, and it was just a standard hop over to Honolulu, we were on a 737, as a matter of fact, a Boeing 737. We'd taken it over to Honolulu, and I recall on the flight back getting out and looking at the aircraft, and there was a guy, one of the maintenance people. I looked to my right. I looked back. I saw movement in my peripheral vision. I looked back again. And I saw someone taking off up the jetway on into the terminal. And I knew it was one of the maintenance people because he had on an orange jumpsuit.
What was he doing?
Well, it looked to me like he saw me looking, and he started to sweat it, and he decided to go ahead and just make a break.
Well, what was he making a break? I don't understand.
I think a lot of these guys will panic. When you start looking at things, and...
Well, he hadn't done anything wrong, had he?
No, he hadn't done anything wrong. He just... wasn't sure if he'd given it the proper mechanical overview, and he saw me. He'd never seen a pilot taking the kind of interest that I take. See, let me just explain something to you and Ms. Gray and your audience. You know, I don't. When Art Griego shows, excuse me. When Art Griego shows up, when Art Griego is the captain or the pilot or the guy who's flying the aircraft, when I show up, everyone knows it's a new world. Everyone knows they've entered. They've walked into a whole new world, and
because of the
because of the interest I take in the safety of the aircraft. Yeah, it's when I showed up, when I used to fly, and I showed up, the maintenance people, the flight attendants, the gate people, the all of the ground personnel, all of the people on my aircraft, the even my co-pilot, everyone knew that they had entered a whole new universe. That they had left the world as they knew it, and they were now entering into a whole new world that they may not know anything about. But the world is called, you know, we used to say, welcome to Griego's world.
Okay, I just was passed a note here. We want to We had a couple of more points we wanted to make on this United Boeing story. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Talking to Art Griego, Margaret Gray with us. Margaret?
Well, I wanted to ask a question, Art. When you say, welcome to Griego's world...
That's what we used to joke about.
No, I understand that. Were you the only pilot that took this kind of interest?
I think I'm the only pilot that took the level of interest that I took. There were a lot of pilots that, because I told you, Phil and Margaret, that the pilots were all extremely concerned with the safety of the aircraft. We didn't have 100% confidence in the ground personnel. We didn't have 100% confidence in the aircraft company. We knew that we were taking a big, big chance every time we sat down inside of any kind of an aircraft. There was a 50-50 chance, that's what I would call it, of me, if they ever did see me again, recognizing it was me as opposed to just some DNA stain on a seat. And I don't mean to be crude.
Well, I mean, you're talking about the likelihood of a devastating crash 50-50. I mean, are you not really being very... You're not being very kind, are you? Plus, we've got people that fly, Art, that are listening right now, passengers, that don't want to be panicked.
I would say to them that I'm a control freak, I guess, but more than that, I'm very, very, very tough on anybody that touches my aircraft before I fly it. You better make sure you know what you're doing, because, as I said, you are stepping into the world of Griego, and that's what we used to say.
The world of... So this was something...
This was something known by all the flight people? And...
Oh, yeah. People knew Art Griego. They knew my name, and they said that, you know, Art Griego's coming in today, or Art Griego's landing today, and it's his world. I just... You know, I mean, we used to do jokes, you know, and say, it's Art Griego, you know, it's your world. All I do is clean the toilet rim.
Talking to Art Griego here, and pilots and ground personnel and companies, and just exactly what is the relationship between the two? Art said that as a pilot, he never ever flew without first taking a good long hard look at the aircraft, and because he didn't have 100% confidence in either the maintenance people, the mechanics, the company that built the aircraft, nothing. He said no pilot does. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Well, I would say, you know, my world, you know.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, as we talk here with Art Griego about the Boeing 787. This is a brand-new design. It has been grounded. The fleet has been grounded by the FAA because of mechanical issues, because of just issues that they're concerned with. One of them, a fuel line problem. Another undefined mechanical problem that was spotted aboard a Dreamliner, that's what they call this United 787, that was forced to make an emergency landing in New Orleans. 184 people on board. I don't want to frighten anybody here, Art, that may be flying a 787, though.
No, we don't want to frighten anybody. I'm simply saying to people that when I flew as a pilot, I made sure that people knew that, that they could not get away with anything with me. I just didn't. I made it a point, not because I didn't like them, but I made it a point with the ground people and the mechanics and so forth, I told them, I don't, you know, have a very high regard for you. It doesn't mean that I don't think you're good people, but I have to take that attitude. I have to take the attitude that you people don't know what you're doing, that you're trying to get me killed.
You didn't say that to them, did you?
Oh, my goodness.
No, I you have to. As a pilot... If my life depends on...
Did you say to the ground people, you're trying to get me killed?
If your life depends as a pilot on the safety of the aircraft that some mechanic just handed over to you, and what do you want me to say to that guy? I don't understand.
Well, why don't you say to the individual, you know, thank you for doing a good job. I trust that everything has been done according to plan.
No, if I say that, then that's when they begin to slack off on the job. That's when they think that they, you know, they have my respect and they have my honor, and they begin to feel comfortable. And the next thing you know, they start to get a little bit lazy with the work they're doing.
Doesn't it work the other way?
Anyway, what way?
If you say, I don't trust a thing you do, won't someone then say, well, I'm not going to take as much care?
Well, then he's for sure going to get me killed. And the record is clear. I said before I died, I didn't trust the work of these people, and I was right. So he only has one way to go. He's only got one way to go. If I say the mechanics, the ground personnel, the gate people, everybody here, I wouldn't trust you if you told me that the sun rises in the east. I wouldn't believe you. I'd go and get three or four opinions.
But so, in other words, it is a constant state of tension between you and anybody having to do with your aircraft.
No, not the people that are on the aircraft with me. My co-pilot, although the co-pilot is even an individual, and that's another thing. I never agreed to be a co-pilot. I was always the pilot. Because I always wanted people to know. I always wanted to have the reputation. I always wanted, you know, Griego, you know, Art Griego. I wanted my name known among all of the different airlines that I, you know, I am the pilot. It's my world, you know, as one of the mechanics used to say. I told you, he says, that's your world, boss. I'm just cleaning the underside of the toilet rim.
That is that is disgusting.
That shows you, though.
It's your world, boss. I just clean the underside of the toilet rim. I don't understand that.
Well, the underside, if you think about it.
Oh, Phil, think a little bit harder about it.
You think? I mean, that's about the most vile of all the vile areas in anybody's home. The most vile has got to be that underside rim of the.
All right, I understand. So this guy was just your absolute slave.
No, he didn't say slave. But he knew what his job was. When I walked into the terminal, when my car pulled onto the lot into any international airport in the United States or regional airport, when the word came from security that Captain Griego has arrived, and I used to drive in wearing my airline hat. I used to drive in wearing my airliner blazer. I used to drive in wearing all of the different patches and epaulets and you know, these uniforms they give you, they're commercial uniforms. They don't stand for anything, but they look military, and it gives people confidence. It also has an effect on the guy that's parking cars in the lot. As much as he doesn't really matter in the sense of an airport, you know, I don't know what to say, but I would fly, I would drive in, and I'd have on the hat, my coat. So when he saw even the profile or the silhouette of my hat and my airline pilot uniform, he would know that Griego's in town.
So you had this reputation.
Let me, Art, I want to ask you a question.
Yeah, I had the reputation.
So when you were looking and you saw that man take off, I want to know, what was the disposition of that? What happened?
Yeah, that was at an airport. You don't want me to say, Phil?
I'd rather you not, no.
I was at an airport. I was looking. I had them open up those things they open up, you know.
You know, you don't have do you have a working knowledge of the what these things are called?
I have a working knowledge of flying a commercial aircraft, Phil.
So you don't know what the
I have a working knowledge of flying. Anything else you're asking me, I've got a working knowledge. I just have them open up those things, the metal flaps, and I look in. Now I look at the corner of my eye, my peripheral vision, I see a guy in an orange jumpsuit taking off down the jetway. And I go, that's my man, right there, see, there he is. I said, that's, go get him. And it turned out he was nervous, he was going off to get himself a cup of coffee because he didn't like having this kind of inspection.
877-876-PHIL, the Phil Hendry Show. We'll go to Gary here, and we might have some time to take some calls next hour with Art, I don't know. Gary, go ahead.
Hi, yeah, I'm a jet mechanic in Chicago, how are you?
I'm good, Gary.
I work for and I'm also a union member, and I take a great deal of pride in what I do. And the people that I work with and work around...
And what company do you work for?
I work for O'Hare Airport. I work for the Chicago Municipal Aviation Authority. I work directly for the people that administer and run that airport. I don't work for you, okay?
Well, I know you don't work for me because...
Yeah. And I certainly have absolutely no fear of any pilot, least of all you, coming into my airport and taking a look at the work that I've done or my crew has done in preparing that aircraft for flight. I don't worry about pilots. I worry about me and the job I do.
I hope that you worry about, if you knew me, you'd know that Griego's in town.
No, I don't know that Griego's in town. I don't know who you are. And I didn't know the names of most of the pilots. I got to know them later on.
Have you ever heard of Art Griego?
I never heard of you, sir, and you are not anybody that I'd be afraid of. You know, you're not anybody that I'm going to tell my crew, hey, Griego's in town.
Well, then why was that guy taken off down the jetway?
Maybe he just didn't like you and didn't want to be around you. Maybe it would incite him.
Incite him to what? I mean, this guy knew Art Griego, the guy he saw walking around that aircraft.
Hey, buddy, I don't care if you wear your hat and you have your shirt buttoned up and...
Not my shirt, my jacket.
The what?
My jacket.
All right, I don't care if you've got your jacket buttoned up and you're walking around the aircraft and you look all important. It doesn't matter to me. I care about the job that I do.
Well, I care more about the job you do, because if you don't do it, I die.
No, you're not gonna die. You know what? You don't even sound like a guy.
Phil Hendry.